So good morning. This is an awesome morning. It is the beginning of June, and I'd like to begin as I do every Sunday, reminding us all that there is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live, move, and have our being. And that is the truth of being, and that anchors me, and it anchors all of us in this great wisdom of the universe as we explore our lesson for this morning. So we're continuing our annual theme of living a spiritual life in 2019. And this morning, we do have a new month, and it's June. Our theme for June is optimism. And isn't that a happy word, optimism? It just makes you want to smile, and you'll see those great big happy faces and wide circular or arc smiles like they used to have at Walmart. I don't know if they still do, but I remember the old Walmart commercials where they would show this big happy face and show that the price was falling on things, which was a happy situation for the people who were looking to buy those things. So just saying the word optimism naturally brings a smile to my face, and I hope it does to yours also. So if you're willing to bring that smile to your face this morning, join me in saying optimism together three times, okay? Optimism. Again, optimism. And one more time, optimism. Look at your smiles. Everybody's smiling. How can you not smile with such a positive word? And yet some people, nobody here, of course, just can't bring themselves to be happy. They can't really bring themselves to smile about anything. And I understand that there are times we don't really feel that happy and we don't really have a positive outlook on life. That's natural. We all have our days. We all have our days. We have our ups. We have our downs. We have our, wow, this is a magnificent day. And we have our days with, wow, I better do my treatment, my prayers, my meditation before I get out of bed. So whatever is passing, whatever is going through your life, remember that wonderful, wonderful phrase from the Bible. This too shall pass. Because everything is transient in the world. Every condition is transient. And if this is a day when maybe it's not your perfectly optimistic day, it's okay. Because we can help you here. We can support you. Immediately after service, either Reverend Mark or myself can get together with you if you ask us, and we will do spiritual mind treatment for you for whatever is going on in your life. It doesn't have to be a negative thing. If you're just celebrating something amazing, we will celebrate that also with you in spiritual mind treatment. So you've made a wise decision to be here this morning. You've given yourself a gift of a positive and uplifting environment. You are here, sitting in unconditional love. Because not only do we love you, you are made of love. So remember that living a spiritual life doesn't mean that we have no challenges or that we have a bummer of experiences. We never have bummers, which, you know, dates me. But it's how we learn to grow. It's how we move through things to be open to new and greater experiences. And our responsibility in the science of mind philosophy is always to look on the bright side. Ernest Holmes did tell us this is not a get-rich-quick scheme. This is pure, divine truth. So we want to look on the bright side. And that actually is going to be the title of my lesson on the last Sunday of the month, look on the bright side. Our new calendar's out so you can pick one up. And that's what optimism is all about, looking at the positive and turning away from the negative. We have the choice to either stay stuck in our negativity, in that lower energy, or we can liberate our minds and liberate our hearts in realizing the freedom that we have to choose happiness. Roy Eugene Davis is a direct disciple of Paramahansa Yogananda. Are you familiar with him? Okay, good. He's also the founder and director of the Center for Spiritual Awareness in Georgia, and we have had him here to speak and do workshops at our center when we were in the downtown area. And he says this about the value of optimism. In spite of existing conditions, the first positive choice to make is to be optimistic. Cheerfulness and optimism enable us to be receptive to new possibilities, to energize the mind and body, and strengthen the immune system. Pessimistic mental attitudes, sadness, and feelings of despair constrict our awareness and weaken the body and mind. So then he says, we do not need a reason to be optimistic. If we are habitually pessimistic, it's only because we choose to dramatize this mental state. If we are inclined to blame circumstances or the behaviors of others for our mental and emotional states, we need to grow to emotional maturity by choosing to be responsible for our thoughts, feelings, and circumstances. In other words, optimism is the reasonable choice. Optimism is the positive decision that you make, that I make, for our mental, physical, and spiritual well-being. And so my question this morning is, are you an optimist or a pessimist? Now, there's no correct answer. No correct answer. But I want you to be as honest with yourself as you can. Do you choose optimism as a way of life? Or do you choose pessimism? Most people would choose optimism, though when I'm in some groups, I think, maybe I'm not in the right group because most of these people don't seem to be choosing optimism. So we look at who we surround ourselves with. Are we supporting our own path by putting ourselves into a group of people and relationships that supports our optimism? But most people overall would choose optimism. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Which would you choose? Yeah, did you choose this optimism or this optimism? I bring this up because most of us would like to think that we are.
That's okay, I didn't hear anything.
Most of us would like to think of ourselves as positive, optimistic, spiritual beings. And yet there's an underlying belief that the opposite is true. So we think we're positive, but maybe there's some doubt. Most of us would like to believe that life is filled with blessings and goodness. And yet we sometimes experience chaos and confusion, lack, limitation. So this morning I have good news and I have good news. As Reverend Mark said in my introduction this morning, the lesson for today is half empty or half full. And we have this picture up here. And with that picture, it says, which one are you, half empty or half full. Now we can look at the glass that way, but there are actually three different ways of looking at a glass that is half filled. Psychologists will use this form. Is it half empty or is it half full? Thinking that they are deriving a psychological response from us. Social workers will look at a glass and say, well, it's refillable. It's refillable. So even if you think it's half empty or you're going to run out of that last little part, it is refillable. Now, metaphysicians look at any glass and they say, well, it's completely full. And you will see on your inserts, your program inserts, there's a picture. And that picture has a glass that's half full of water and half full of air. It's 100% full. That's how we are. We see that there is no lack. But it gets better than that. So if the glass is half empty or half full, the answer is yes. Yes, it is. It just depends on when we approach the glass. What point do we encounter the glass? Think about it this way. If I fill a glass with fluid to the halfway mark, it would be what? Half full. Now, if I had a full glass of liquid and I just drank 50% of it, what would the glass be? Half empty. But it's still the same glass. We're just looking at it from a different perspective. One's not better than the other. One's not positive and the other negative. It's not that important when you encounter the glass. What is important is how you approach it and what belief system and attitude you bring to any given situation. So this morning we have three key points to look at as we explore this topic of optimism. The first point is everything in life is an opportunity to learn and grow. Everything in life is an opportunity to learn and grow. You can either set yourself up for success and growth, or you can fall into the blame game that Roy Eugene Davis referred to. It's been said that the pessimist sees the difficulty in every opportunity, and the optimist sees the opportunity in every difficulty. I think it's a good idea to look through the eyes of spiritual wisdom to reveal the many opportunities that life has to offer. Countless, endless, infinite opportunities are surrounding us, within us, and moving as us every day. The choice is yours. And that brings me to the second key point. Have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. That little bit of wisdom is found in a book written by Dr. Wayne Dyer, and it's called 10 Secrets for Success and Inner Peace. It's the first secret of success. And Dr. Wayne Dyer says, have a mind that is open to everything and attached to nothing. He says, no one really knows enough to be a pessimist. I urge you to open your mind to all possibilities and refuse to allow pessimism into your consciousness. In other words, keep your mind and your heart open to the one power, the one presence that makes all things possible. Our infinite creative source, infinite substance, infinite supply. It is everything that is, and it is you. It is me. Say with me now, so repeat after me. I am infinite source. I am infinite substance.
I am infinite substance.
I am infinite supply.
I am infinite supply.
And so it is.
And so it is.
I love that. I love that. There's a book by John Randolph Price, The Abundance Book. And it is amazing. If you ever want to get a different idea, a different perspective about spiritual abundance being the source, substance, and supply of everything, that's the book to look at, The Abundance Book. And it has within it a 40-day prosperity program that, once completed, will change how you look at everything. I love it. We teach that class, the prosperity class, the abundance class, and we have conducted it many, many times, and find that it changes how people look at what is available, what possibilities are. So it's a good book. And the final key point is affirmative prayer is the optimist's most effective tool. When we turn our attention to the power greater than we are, it allows our consciousness to be filled with grace and with ease. New Thought minister and author Emmett Fox says it this way: prayer is the only real action that makes things different. Prayer means to practice the presence. It means to think about God. Stop thinking about the difficulty, whatever it is, and think about God instead. Think about the infinite spirit instead. He goes on to say, prayer brings the presence of God to bear upon a given situation so that health, harmony, and happiness are visibly perceived. That, Fox says, is the golden key to health and harmony and happiness. Now, it was also Emmett Fox who gave Bill W., the founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, their most powerful and optimistic affirmations. Do you know what they are? Easy does it. That's from Emmett Fox. Live and let live. That's from Emmett Fox, too, even though in the James Bond movies, they captivated the essence of it in a different way. But the most famous affirmation of Alcoholics Anonymous is also from Emmett Fox. One day at a time. One day at a time. And when you're going through something very challenging, it becomes 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time, 1 breath at a time. As long as we keep breathing, we are continuing the flow of divine life within us. For every inhale is the inhalation of the divine, and every exhale is a release of whatever is disturbing our mind, our body, our emotions, our spirit. So the breath is what keeps us moving. And those are just a few of the optimistic offerings from New Thought. And this morning I'm asking you to allow yourself to be happy, to be enthusiastic and optimistic about life. If you are willing, place your hand on your heart and affirm with me today. Today, I make the conscious decision to be happier, to be more enthusiastic, and to be more optimistic about life than ever before. And so it is. And so breathe. Take one of those nice deep breaths. And release it, because you have just stated, claimed, spoken your word into the impress of the universe. Now, we know that when we speak our word, these words can only come through ourselves, through our consciousness, and out our mouths, as they already are in the one mind of God. We didn't think up anything new. I didn't make up this new affirmation. It exists in the mind of God already. And the fact that we have said it, we have claimed that for us. And by claiming it out loud, we reinforce its truth in infinite consciousness. And so it's already done. We, here on earth, in our human form, get to watch it play out in our own lives and in the lives of those around us. It's been said that to refuse to be happy and optimistic is to deny yourself your own divinity. So the question once again becomes, are you an optimist or are you a pessimist? And how do you prefer to live your life? A few weeks ago, I delivered a lesson for our May theme of harmony titled In Tune with the Infinite. And that's based on the book by Ralph Waldo Trine. It's available as a podcast on our website. The prelude of that book begins with these words. The optimist is right. The pessimist is right. The one differs from the other as the light from dark, yet both are right. Each is from his own particular point of view. And this point of view is the determining factor in the life of each. It determines as to whether it is a life of power or of impotence, of peace or of pain, of success or of failure. And Trine goes on to say that the optimist has the power to see things in their entirety and in their right relations, while the pessimist looks at things from a limited and a one-sided view. One is illumined by wisdom, the other is darkened by ignorance. Ignorance not being stupidity or foolishness, ignorance being not knowing. That's what ignorance is, not knowing. And I'm sure all of us here today have leaned toward one side or the other, depending on the circumstances going on in our lives. And yet, if you had a choice between optimism and pessimism, what would you do? Because you do have that choice. So which do you choose? Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science and the author of the Science of Mind textbook, said something very important about choice. It's my favorite quote in all of his writings, all of them. It's on page 143, actually. And he says that we cannot live a choiceless life, that every day, every moment, every second, there is choice. When you look at it in such a simple way, to me, that is the most powerful thing that I have seen that he wrote in his teachings. This is the Science of Mind textbook, and so I want to read what else Ernest has to say. This is from page 412. If we believe in suffering, we shall suffer. Life responds to us in the way we approach it. We should choose that which we wish to embody, and by constant attention to it, take on all its characteristics. Let us choose to be identified with power, with love and beauty, with peace and happiness. Let us identify ourselves with abundance and with success. The objective form to which we give our attention is created from the very attention we give to it. The objective is but the reflection of the subjective state of thought. Life is a blackboard upon which we consciously or unconsciously write those messages which govern us. We hold the chalk and the eraser in our hand, but are ignorant of this fact. What we now experience, we need not continue to experience, but the hand which holds the eraser must do its neutralizing work. Quote, I will blot out their transgressions and remember them no longer against them, unquote, was written by one who saw the board, the chalk, and the eraser. Life is a motion picture of subjective causes. What is the screen? And are the figures real? Yes and no. Real as figures, but not self-created, not self-perpetuating. Happy is the one who holds the projecting machine firmly in his conscious thought and who knows how to make conscious use of it. Ernest goes on to say on page 415, our own presence and our own consciousness of the presence of the physical world around us implies the necessity of a universal intelligence which co-coordinates everything into one complete unity. This means that there must be a universal standard of reality, which we do not set, but which we may discover. One of the first discoveries we make is that living in a mechanical world, we are still spontaneous individualities. We are still spontaneous individualities, which means we get to choose, because this is not a choiceless life. So life is a blackboard upon which we consciously or unconsciously write the messages that govern us. Life is a motion picture, and happy is the one who knows how to make conscious use of it. So I'd like to share some practical applications about what we've discussed this morning. And for those of you who are keeping track, today is the second day of the sixth month of 2019, which means that our calendar year is half over. How does that make you feel?
Older.
Yellow or blue? How does that make you feel? Yellow, yeah. Happy. And it doesn't even matter that half a year has passed. It's just a flip of the calendar page. It doesn't really matter what we define the date as, how we portion up days, weeks, months, years, centuries. That doesn't matter. Because it's right here. This is where we are. So almost 6 months have passed since the beginning of the year when some of us filled out our affirmative prayer sheets for 2019. Every year, the first month, January, we have an affirmative prayer process where we go into meditation and we invite people to allow Spirit to show them what is their heart's desire for this year. And we write it down on pieces of paper and we seal it in an envelope. People write their addresses on it and they turn them over to us. And we pray on them all year long. And we give them back around Thanksgiving, just in time for everybody to open their envelopes and go, wow, it worked. Or, gee, I forgot I even wanted that and I got it 3 months ago. I remember one year, I was looking at our vehicles, and I wrote down, I have new, reliable transportation that suits me, that is comfortable and affordable. I forgot about that. Turned out that year, in September of that year, I got a notice from a car dealership, the same make as my car. And they said, hey, we've got this special deal going on, and you can get a new vehicle for this under $200 a month payment. And I thought, well, that sounds good because my husband's car payment is higher than that. So I called them up, And it turned out that we could get two brand new cars for less than the amount of his one car payment. And so we did it. But I'd forgotten that I said I wanted a new car. So when Thanksgiving came around and I opened up my sheet, as we deliver them on a Sunday morning, so there's lots of people going, wow, 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 all through the congregation. And I opened it and I said, wow. And so everybody wanted to know what mine was, you know, because. So I shared and they all laughed. And it was amazing just to see how everything came together without me even looking for a new car. So it's been 6 months since our congregation filled out our affirmative prayer sheets. And I just know that so many things have already come to pass, not even knowing what is in their envelopes. So we can ask again, is the year half over? Or do you have more than half of the rest of the year to make 2019 the most happy, joyful, prosperous, and abundant year ever? So is the year half empty, or is the year half full? It depends on at what point you make your decision. You can complain about what did or didn't happen, or you can make the most of the remaining years ahead. The choice is yours, to be optimistic or not. It's completely up to you. And I'd like to close with one of my favorite stories on optimism. It's about a pair of twins, identical twins. His parents consulted a psychiatrist because they felt like one was an optimist and one was a pessimist. And they were little boys. And for Christmas, the parents were told to give the pessimist a room filled with wonderful toys, while the room for the optimist was to be filled with horse manure and maybe a shovel. And they were to record the reactions of the boys. So the pessimist was sitting in the room, slouched in a chair with a dejected look on his face. He hadn't even removed the gift wrappings. "What's the use?" he asked glumly. "I probably won't like what I find, and if I do, I won't get to keep it." A marked contrast greeted them in the other room. With a broad grin on his face, the optimist was shoveling for all he was worth. "With all this manure," he declared, "there's got to be a pony in here somewhere." So thank you. Thank you for your attendance, your presence, your time, your attention. Namaste.